and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glenn Martin, and Derek O'Connor. Hello and welcome to DNF1. This is the results show. We had a fantastic Grand Prix today. Some people will disagree with that. I really enjoyed the midfield. So some people say it was quite a boring race and it was not up to much, but I quite enjoyed it actually. The camera stayed on that midfield battle the whole time through. I know Hamilton was out in front, Bottas was out in front. The cameras barely were on them until the last three laps. But overall, well, I
mean, a prime example of that was Verstappen running in third, sort of more concerned that his engineer hadn't had a drink, you know. Make sure you stay hydrated, says Verstappen. Nothing else to do except steer, you know. That's just one of them sort of races. You thought to think, okay, here we go. Very poor overtaking at Silverstone. Yes, we could do with the magic rain cloud coming in, yeah, or something. We needed something to spice it up, you know. Yeah. Well, we'll discuss that.
Yeah. Well, let's first. I tuned in and I was gutted to find that. No, Nico Hülkenberg. Now, this is a really strange one, Derek. I cannot remember the last time that a team, barring accident, like last weekend in Hungary when Verstappen ran that car off the track, I could understand if they couldn't get the car going and, yeah, okay, did he make it to the start because of an accident? But what the hell?
Just wouldn't start. Wouldn't go.
I've genuinely never heard of that in...
No.
Decades.
It's just one of those things. And it was just as easy to say, we'll not bother. We'll just run with the one car. You know, we can manage with one car, it's not a problem, you know.
I think
maybe it'll be better if they run him next week, if Perez is not back, if they run him again next week.
I think the BBC News did say that Hülkenberg will be back next week. It's now been confirmed. Hülkenberg will be back next week to give it another crack of the whip. But it's just Nico's luck. Honestly, I mean, if he'd been run anywhere near the top sort of five or six towards the end, there would have been that potential, that possibility.
It's the old saying, isn't it? If he didn't have bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all.
It's beyond me how they actually got to that point. I mean, no, I don't know. I don't know what recent point we're playing at to actually be in that situation. They'll come away and they'll tell us and see, well, it was this, this, and this, and we couldn't fix it in the timescale, but... It's so strange. Weird. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Our next DNF was Kevin Magnussen. When he came into the bend prior, he took too much curb and he lost a bit sort of traction. He'd lost a bit of speed and he was moving to the left. Albon's behind them thinks, hello, I'm having some of that.
Door open, going through, yes.
Yeah.
And then he saw him coming back at him, so he backed off a little bit, did Albon.
Yeah, but
and
then...
And that's why they came together.
Do you think it was deserving, Albon, the five-second penalty?
Yes.
Really?
You know, because he's got away with the last two where they were his fault and Hamilton got the blame, so, yeah, revenge is sweet. No, I think it was a little bit 50-50, but I think the stewards had to be seen to be...
Yeah.
Playing the straight game sort of thing, I suppose that's the way to do it, you know.
Well, I suppose that's they've at least covered themselves. It felt a bit harsh. Magnussen maybe shouldn't have came back across. He'd already made the mistake. And if nothing else, drivers that make mistakes on the track should be penalised by losing position or time. Yeah. In this case, he was going to lose both. But likewise, Albon that early in the race, I mean, he ran a huge risk. And that front suspension on that Red Bull is mighty. It took a hell of a whack and finished the race.
Yeah.
But Magnussen, maybe should have known better. He's an experienced racer. Should have just, you know what, I'll give up that place if he's as quick as he thought he could be. And let's be honest, he wasn't racing the Red Bull anyway.
No.
You know, I mean...
Should have given him the open door and let him go and let him get on with his race. So, yeah. You know, but...
And then we lost Danny Kvyat, who apologised to the team, but it looked like it was a rear puncture. The tyre had actually started giving up. So when he went into the bend, the back end swapped on him, but it was more to do with the tire than his driving. For
yeah. Oh yes,
for a change.
But
torpedo.
Yes, he flew round Maggots, Becketts, and Chapel, but just didn't seem to hang on at the end, did he?
No. I mean, these two incidents gave us obviously two safety cars, which did bring the field quite close together, and it actually held the midfield together very, very well. And it also gave us Grosjean, the cork in the bottle that backed everybody up. Haas, obviously, after last weekend and making that decision to change tyres, etc. at the start, and that obviously helped team position-wise. They have said that that's the kind of things that they need to look at, and they gave it a bash. It didn't work, but at least hat off to them. They tried. Grosjean was in there fighting with people and getting in people's way and moving under braking and actually getting the black and white flag, which I think actually the FIA had lost at Italy last year. So somebody's either posted it back to them or they finally found it in the bottom drawer, hidden away, and went, that black and white flag we can use. Mind we used that in Italy last year, so we didn't penalise the clerk.
I think they should have used it twice, actually, on him. Because I think he did move when Ricardo...
Yeah, the one on Ricardo actually looked worse.
Camera angle, I think. But I think he moved, but I think he backed out of it just before he actually did. He sort of, I better not do that.
I don't think there was any malice in his movement. I think it was just, he looked in his mirror and went, I'm going to go cover here, just at the same time as the guy was trying to get past. He became the train. Kimi Raikkonen had a broken wing, maybe he was going over curbs or something, it gave him a puncture, etc. But there is a possibility that the crap that came off Kimi Raikkonen's front wing was part of the reason we had all the punctures towards the end, maybe. It's a possibility. So Kimi Raikkonen 17th, Roman Grosjean could, he battled that midfield for a while.
He tried and failed,
but likewise, he was going to have to pit anyway. He stayed out in the mediums, he was going to have to come in and pit anyway. And then Nicholas Latifi, which, although it's 15th and second for the end, he actually went up quite a few places considering he started at the back. And then we've got Giovinazzi pretty much at the same sort of time as Latifi, just in front of him. And then
Giovinazzi started there and finished there. So he didn't go forward, he didn't go backwards. You know, that's just where he stayed, sort of thing.
Yeah. And then we come to Carlos Sainz, who was performing really well, actually was great up the field until the last two laps, I think. He was on lap two.
He could have.
And he got that puncture, and that kind of ruined his race, unfortunately. This is the thing, obviously. Sainz in 13th, and we've got Valtteri Bottas in 11th. Both of them dropped out of the points because of the puncture. Valtteri Bottas, his puncture became apparent, but he was on the pit straight, so he had to go all the way around the whole lap. But stuck in between the two, George Russell, a good performance, actually. A good race performance for him.
Yeah. Russell did all right.
Considering again where he had to start. 12th place for a Williams, could take that. And then that brings us to the start of the top 10. And this is where we go, what was Seb up to? If Charles Leclerc can finish third, which was going to be fourth, and was going to be a bit off the pace, Seb was running about in 10th doing what?
Nothing.
Even at the start of the race, you know, that midfield battle was raging and he was just piddling about in 10th. I'm just quite happy to sit here. I don't know.
He's packed his bag. He's ready to go on holiday. He's waiting for a summer break that's not happening. So he's just waiting for the end of the year and then he's off.
Yeah. It's...
He's going through the motions. He has no motivation to try. He's no motivation. He's done it. He's won four world championships. So he knows he's no chance in heaven of winning a championship this year. So why put myself in danger? Why put myself out there? I mean,
Derek, the issue I have with where he is that when you look at Leclerc, We've spoken about Ferrari to death, actually. The bottom line is, when Sebastian Vettel starts in 10th in a Ferrari that's maybe not great, but it's still third, fourth territory, as Leclerc has proved, he then sat behind a range of midfield battles, and if it wasn't for the likes of Bottas falling down the field and Sainz, it would have been outside the top 10. I mean, you're right, Derek. You're right in what you're saying. It's just, it's a bit of a strange one. You would think with that pressure off, he would just be like...
He would have had a bit of pride. He thought he might just go for it.
Have a bit of fun.
If he gets knocked out, he gets... Yeah, you know, I think so. But did you notice the little elbow bump with Lawrence Stroll?
No, I didn't see that. I missed that.
They were walking through the paddock and Seb was walking towards him, and Lawrence was walking the opposite direction, and they had a little cheery nudge of each other's elbow and carried on with a smile and a smirk. These rumour factories are going for it, I tell you. They are.
Honestly.
There was supposed to be some sort of an announcement this weekend, but because Perez got ill, they've canned it.
You know what the difference is? Is Sebastian Vettel, it's just... that's it, I'm done. Alonso comes back, and Alonso will drive the wheels off it, whatever he gets in, whereas Vettel's just, I'm over it. Heck yeah. Well, talking of Lance Stroll, a bit disappointing, actually, for the Pink Panthers, for them being the Mercedes of 2019, it should have been performing a lot better, but he just got kind of bogged in that midfield battle at the back. He was stuck between two Renaults for quite a bit of time, but never really went anywhere, which is a strange one. I mean, okay, the Renaults had some upgrades, but they hadn't shown that in qualifying a great amount. But I pretty much a day at the office to forget for Lance Stroll. Nothing much to talk about. And then we come to Albon.
He got a couple of points in that.
Of points. He'll take that. At the end of the day, there's maybe more going on behind the scenes than's letting on. But if Hülkenberg's car had such a problem, then they should have told Lance to sit in the sidelines if his dad didn't own the company or the team, and sent Hülkenberg out in that car instead. Next, Alexander Albon. Now, he got up into 8th. But again, it really felt that it obviously worked for him on the tyres towards the end of it. But again, he was running a bit at the back of the field. I mean, okay, I had the bump with Magnussen right at the start. Had to pit, had to take his 5-second penalty, et cetera, et cetera. But where is Alex Albon that was challenging for the race win in Austria?
Gone. Disappeared.
And we know
taking a vacation.
We know the machinery's there because Verstappen's driving it around the track. And this is always going to be the problem with Red Bull. Whoever they bring in, they have to be on par with Max Verstappen, which is a tough shout. But even to be that second part or bit part player, based on what Bottas does for Hamilton, then Red Bull would be happy with that. But Albon's just no showing. Whatever pressure's on him, etc. 8th is definitely not what Red Bull want. And
no.
I'd love to have heard, actually, all the radio messages, because do you mind in Austria when Pierre Gasly was running around and couldn't seem to get his finger at his backside, and Red Bull were on him, you have to get past, this isn't good enough, etc., etc. And then he wound up a lap down, getting lapped by Verstappen. Now, it wasn't the case today, because we had safety cars, etc. But I'd like to hear what they were saying to Albon over the space of this race. It would be interesting to find out whether they're putting the same pressure on him or what they're actually doing. And then Pierre Gasly in 7th, ahead of him, just proving a point. Gasly was kicking about sort of like in the top 10, just in the top 10, 9th, had that pit stop, came back out, and then again, with a bit of luck, Bottas, Sainz, a really good finish actually for him. 7th for the AlphaTauri. Very good. And then we get to the three lads that were pretty much racing all sort of race. We've got...
Well, they had a tow rope between the three of them, you know, and they were pulling each other around, and then giving a slingshot to the next one to push him in front, and then they, you know, Yeah, it was good racing, though. It was good, enjoyable racing.
That midfield battle, because we had the two McLarens kicking a bit in there, we had the two Renaults, and Lance Stroll was in the mix for a reasonable percentage of it, even though there was toward the back half, but never seemed to be going anywhere. But the Renaults, that's a very good finish for the two Renaults. Again, Bottas and Sainz, and it wouldn't have looked as impressive, but they're taking the opportunities when they can, and Ricciardo finally getting some decent points out of it.
Yes, and Renault have lodged a complaint again against Racing Point. They seem to be doing this every race now because they have to, so that
they can only do it in the race weekend.
Consistency with the complaint there, you know.
Lando Norris, I think it was a good finish for him. It was a really good performance, actually, over the space of the race. It would have been so easy for him to lose the head and no be where he finished. That midfield battle was actually the highlight. And again, I'm looking forward to it next weekend. We didn't see much at the front, but it does bring us... Because I'll be honest, even over the space of the race, I don't think I actually saw a single piece of coverage of Charles Leclerc until he crossed the line. There was no coverage, even the same with Max, and it was only actually in those last two laps. But again, he must be thinking, how did I get a podium position out of this? How?
Yes, what happened there, you know?
Yeah, and then we have Max Verstappen, who could have romped to a victory. Now, what Red Bull have said about his tyres, that they did change, because when they brought him in to go for fastest lap, they didn't know... Yeah. Hamilton's tyres were going to be in such a state, and they could have had the victory, but hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Oh, it is. It's wonderful. The tyres, they're coming off Bottas is coming in, and they just thought, right, well, we'll get this.
Yep.
But if they'd have just stayed out that one more lap, they'd have known what had happened to Hamilton. They'd have been 30 seconds ahead of him round that last cut.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. The Red Bull said that there was a large cut in one of the tyres. So it goes back to the point, because Silverstone, it being such a high-speed circuit, the tyres get a lot of pressure put through them, a lot of G-force, a lot of torque, etc. They're off curbs, etc., long sweeping bends, and these tyres take a hammering. And they were at the limit of basically what Pirelli had said the hard tyres would do, 40 laps. Add in the fact, because the thing is, Lewis and Bottas would have been miles ahead if it wasn't for the safety cars. There'd have been a pit stop ahead, and it would have been a walk in the park for them. It wasn't the case because of the safety cars. But Lewis did say that Bottas was pushing them the whole way. They were trading fastest laps, which is good to see, but it also just goes to show that Lewis has just got the measure of Bottas. Maybe it was dirty air.
Squeeze his foot a little bit more, and he'll go just that little bit faster. You know.
Yeah, it looked that way and felt that way.
In all the years, that's the first time I've seen a car come across the finish line on two wheels. Never mind one gone, but just two wheels on the track. You know,
it was
pretty spectacular, and it was quite as you alluded to earlier on today to me that the commentators on Sky sort of had everybody going, "Oh my God, what's happened now?" You know, And then the commentator's curse, and there goes Hamilton's tyre, you know.
Yeah.
So, but
because when Bottas was going around the track very slow, they got a graphic up saying it was Lewis Hamilton, but it was still Bottas. So they basically shocked quite a few Lewis fans at that time. The thing is that next weekend, these tyres, obviously, they just call them soft, medium and hard, as opposed to the super soft, ultra soft, and the whole plethora of tyres that are actually available, just to make it easier for the fans. But next weekend, the tyre choice is actually a softer set. The three tyres are actually a softer grade than what this was. Now, I'm quite happy with that, because it means that the teams, instead of just coming in for one pit stop, are going to have to come in for two pit stops or more.
Or three.
Yeah. Depending on what the track temperature's sitting at. But
they've said the temperature, the actual air temperature around Silverstone, forecast to be 87.
What's that in British money?
British money, 28.
28? Oh, that'll be good. Those tyres will just melt. Having said that, though, at least they'll have had this whole weekend of running, so the track might give up a bit more grip next weekend. Unless we get really heavy rain, maybe over the space of the week, we'll wait and see. But The performance that they took at the front, though, Derek, if we take out the safety cars, was pretty much they had it stitched up.
Yeah, I mean, Bottas got the rough end of the stick. Lewis got the bitter luck.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm looking forward to next week. Next week's going to be superb because all the little extra bits that are going to happen now, between now and next week, and will he, won't he? Will there be more people off with COVID?
Yeah.
Will they sort of, you know, this and that, you know, so we just have to sit and watch and wait. They say that Perez is asymptomatic, so he's not actually showing any signs of illness.
Yeah.
He's just a carrier. So yeah. He's giving it to everybody in the pit, and about 3 days later, they'll all have it.
Yeah.
The thing two is, cars going down the track.
We spoke about this before we even did a podcast a couple of days ago, and if it turns out that Lewis Hamilton came down with COVID-19, he would obviously have to step out. And that would open the door for Bottas, you know?
Anybody.
Because at the moment, this is kind of, it's Lewis's championship, let's be honest. And
Lewis is to lose.
And next season, because of the engine regulation changes, that they can only do one upgrade, as well as all the things that are now actually being blocked off, that they can't bring up upgrades on, etc., etc. Yeah. By the time we hit next season, okay, they won't have DAS next season, but by then, the car's still going to be a half a second. Even if Red Bull catch up, it's still going to be half a second quicker over the laps, you know? Would you say that going back to Silverstone is a good thing, a bad thing? Personally, I think it's really good. I love Silverstone as a track.
I think it's good. And I like the way that they're actually talking about considering doing reverse tracks. It's raised its head again today during the commentary, during the after program, during everything. But they say, look, well, we can't because some of the things we can't turn round.
Yeah.
I understand that. So do a reverse grid. If you can't do a reverse track, do a reverse grid. Do one race that way and then the next race, have them come from the back to the front, you know, and then they would be more overtaking because they'd have to do it, you know.
Ross Brawn has tried to get that, but the teams haven't actually went for it. And you're right, you know, where marshal posts are, access roads, as well as the track and barriers, where the runoff areas are, it's not possible to actually reverse it.
It's a good in theory, and it probably would be very interesting, but
it ain't
going to happen in our lifetime.
Well, unless if the track is engineered in such a way, then they could do that in turn, but they'd have to invest quite a few million just to get that. But then likewise, if Silverstone could hold two races a year, that would be an option. But they're trying to get that many races on the calendar and go that many different places. It's not going to happen, you know?
No.
Well, Derek, anything else you want to add?
It was good.
It was a good race. I enjoyed the midfield battle, and that's where we have to be watching to actually get any modicum of entertainment, because at the front it's same old, which is disappointing. And I was hoping that Max and Leclerc would have actually been a lot closer over the space yet. I knew it wasn't going to be the case, but that was the only other sort of like glimmery hope that you could have had.
Yeah.
So that midfield battle was thumbs up. I'll watch that again.
Yeah.
So bring it on next weekend. Hopefully we won't have anybody else dropping out, and hopefully Nico Hülkenberg will actually, you never know, make that podium next week.
Drive a lap in anger,
yeah. Yeah. We look forward to it. It gives him another week of proper preparation, but he could have done with the laps today.
Yes. Yep.
Well, folks, we hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us on the show, you can do it at dnf1podcast @gmail.com, as well as you can check out our range of track art and t-shirts and mugs and stuff at beardycat.com.
Goodies.
Yes, the Silverstone face masks are very popular. Well, folks, it's goodbye for me.
And it's good night from me again. So good night. Take care.
We'll do it all again next week. This has been a Beardycat production for DNF1.